This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, oftentimes when you're not successful, it's both the schematics and its performance, and I'd say it was both. You know, I thought they won the war of attrition as the game wore on. I thought the pile fell the direction that they desired it to. And so, you know, what could be second and eight was second and six. You do that consecutively. What could be, you know, third and four is third and two. And those downs are played out differently in the National Football League. And I think over the course of time, I thought that was the state of it, increasingly so. And so we had to do a better job of getting them in position to minimize that pile. We got to come off blocks a little better. And we got to understand the weight of possession down ball when you're playing someone that's playing the attrition game.
And indeed, that's exactly what the Steelers will be facing again this weekend. You know, it's interesting because last weekend and the weekend before were really actually the second half of the weekend before in Atlanta when the Falcons started this little tumble of the rush defense kind of having some issues. And at 128 yards in the second half of Atlanta, then you come up to 215 with the Ravens. And before you know it, Wes, you're really struggling to find a way to come to balance and get your defense back on keel, back playing with a downhill bang to it rather than being on your heels, as they've taken a few blows this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, they certainly have. And Baltimore, I think, is still at the forefront of everybody's mind in that regard. And good morning, Mr. Wolfley.
Good morning, Mr. Euler.
I'm back and I'm out of the frying pan and into the fire, baby.
Well, our man Max is on his way eastward, I believe. I can't remember where he's scheduled to be, but he's in the air right now. So he's heading somewhere east.
Doing a bowl game or something tomorrow,
yeah,
I think,
yeah, he's
right?
Got something going on. He's always got something going on. That young man's he's in great demand. He's a very talented dude, you know?
Hey, what can you say, huh?
Hey, what about that?
I tell
that?
You what, though, Wolf. You've been the glue that's been holding this show together over the last couple weeks. I mean, last week, Max was out for, what, four days because he was sick. I was out yesterday a little under the weather, and now Max is out today. I mean, you just got this revolving door of partners, I tell you.
Just don't jinx me, baby. Don't jinx me. I'm on a roll.
Nobody stop him. He's on a roll.
Yeah, really. So here's the point. You got a team right now that came out. They're 1-4 under Matt Rhule. They get rid of Matt Rhule. They go to Steve Wilks, interim coach. He's 4-4. The key is the last 4 weeks, he's just been playing bash ball. I mean, that's really what he's been doing. He's coming out, and he's got that running game going. You know, because think about it. You've had four different quarterbacks.
Yep.
Think about that. I mean, we're sitting here talking about, you know, the fact we've had three guys just
right.
Because of, you know, the situation. Well, not really three guys. It's just two guys that have gone, what, three times?
I don't even know. A little back and forth there.
A little back and forth with two guys, yeah. It's kind of like when I go to five guys. You know, I take my two boys. There's three guys. We're going to five guys, and we eat enough for six guys. You know what I mean?
You just lost me on the math there, and because now I'm just thinking about that juicy burger.
Oh, man, that you get that shake with it and the Cajun fries. Oh, I'm telling you, it's hog heaven. I know. Even a skinny whip like you can handle that. I know. You love stuff like
baby,
that.
Oh, baby, I love it.
You got a lot more room for it than I do. But anyhow, thinking about this, you got yourself a running game, and they found something now. They got Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's been the QB the last two games. They're averaging just under 27 points a game with Sam Darnold. You know, you think about what's the difference. Well, the difference is right now he's not making any mistakes. He's not throwing away. He's only thrown the ball 43 times in two games. Kenny did that in one game.
Right.
You know, I mean, but what they're doing is they're going ground and pound and play action. That's what they're doing. I mean, they're going out there with, like, Terrell Austin calls it goal line formations. They're out there with 12 personnel with a jumbo tackle. They're out there with a jumbo with a tackle, a 6'6", 325-pound backup tackle as a fullback. You know, they're playing playing odd formations like an offset eye. They're doing a lot of things to maximize their exposure to the quarterback. One of the things that, you know, that they went from 20 rushes a game to 32 now.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so this is all just – it's gearing up for a big fist fight is what it is.
It is. And, you know, Wolf, I think that's I think that is how do I want to say this? Like, there's a little bit of a man in the mirror element to this matchup, if
right.
you will. That these two teams right now are kind of constructed similarly. Now, I think you could argue Carolina has been, Carolina played really well last week while the Steelers struggled, and that's a little difference there. But both of these teams are kind of built and predicated on winning games the same way. They want to take care of the football. They want to be able to run the football successfully, hit you with the occasional big play in the pass game. They want to play stout defense. They want to win the turnover margin. Like, that's how both of these teams are built. There's a lot of similarities in that regard between these two units. You know, they don't have a plethora of ways to win games, right?
No.
Not only that,
Wes, they don't have a lot of ways to win games.
Right. Would you say, have you seen the movie Three Amigos?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
Oh, yes. Yes.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, both of these teams don't have a lot of ways to win games. They have to stick to a script as they're constructed right now. They've got talent on defense. They've got guys who can manage the game on offense and who can make plays enough on the offensive side of the football. You need to win the turnover battle. You need, your special teams to be a net positive throughout the course of 60 minutes. There's a lot of similarities in how both of these teams want to win this game. Both of these teams have talent in the secondary. Both of these teams have good pass rushers. You know, both of these teams have young offenses and some key contributors on offense as well, too, that are inexperienced and not quite long in the tooth. It does kind of feel, the more over the last 2-3 days that I've really started to dive into this, feels like a man in the mirror type matchup to me.
Indeed. And really it's about, here's the thing. As you see your window of opportunity closing with the playoffs, that doesn't matter to a real pro. All right. You play just as hard in the first week as the last
sure.
week. The last week is the first week. And there are all points in between. You're not concerned with getting, in your mind, you're not concerned with a mindset of playoffs. You take it game by game by game. And it's only, your only intent as a player is to win. That's all it is. Even I had to get a quote here of Terrell Austin, and I like what he said. He said, Terrell said, no, we're in the business of trying to win games. I'm not in the business of trying to see who's up for next year's varsity squad. I want guys right now that can keep us, that can help us win games, because our job is to win games now. And that's the only way I'll coach. And I really respect that from Coach Austin. Look, we as fans sitting on the outside of those four locker room walls right now is, yeah, you would like to see. I'd like to see Mark Robbins see what he's got. But here's the point. If the offensive coordinator and position coach and the head coach feel that they don't give you the best option for winning, no, you don't want to see them. If I'm a player, I don't want to see them.
Sure.
I want to line up with the guys that I know are going to give me the best opportunity to win, because winning is the only thing that matters. The old Yoda, try do or do not. There is no trying. And it's not about
do not.
Yes.
There is no try.
Oh man, I got to remember that. Just break on that, because that's just pure.
When you
Yoda.
Drop one of those one-liners, you know I got it ready.
I just love that because it really expresses everything I feel about how you play the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
especially football too.
Yes,
Will.
Go ahead.
You get 17 of these a year.
Yep.
Like Motes has said this before, because he did 4 years in Buffalo, 4 years in Pittsburgh, and then
right.
his last season in Arizona, and that last season in Arizona was when they had drafted Josh Rosen, right? But then they had a terrible year, and they ended up picking first overall. And there was, a lot of talk about tanking and all those things
right.
in Arizona. Motes has always said this. Like, there might be an onus from upstairs that people up there would like you to lose some games and get better draft positions, but that nobody on the coaching staff and in the locker room ever feels that way, because in the National Football League, your job is on the line. Like, it sounds like you're being extreme. It sounds like you're being hyperbolic, but your job is on the line single Sunday.
Yeah.
Coaches' jobs are make or break every week, every season, every year. Players' jobs, everything you do is put on film, and you only get 17 of those resume opportunities a season. Motes has talked about that his last year in Arizona, how that really just, like everybody thought that the players were, you know, just tanking and just trying to lose. And he's like, no, we weren't, because our jobs, our reputations, our livelihoods are on the line every snap, every game, every week. And you only get 17 of them, right? It's not,
yes,
you know, the Penguins played last night, Wolf. They also play again tomorrow, right? They play 82 games a year. The Pirates play 162 games a year. If you're a basketball fan, your basketball team plays 82 games a year. It's a little bit easier to have a stinker, to maybe not give 100% because you're going to be back at it two nights later. That's not the case in the NFL. Everything you do, every single football game that's played, we pop the hood of that trunk and we dissect it all, right? Everybody's watching it from all 22, right, and this angle and that angle, and there's PFF grades and there's this and that, and every single play now of every single game is dissected like it's that frog that we all had in biology class. And you can't afford to take plays, to take games, to take weeks off, because it'll end up costing you your livelihood and your finances for these coaches and for these players.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, the one thing about football, it's the only sport that you've got a weekly run-up, build-up to that moment when you kick it off. You know, and each week is a separate week unto itself. Doesn't have anything to do with the week before or the week after. It's that separation, yep, of this game.
Only as good as your last performance.
This game is everything. So that's exactly what it is. And that sort of attitude permeates everybody, because you always know that you're only good as your last performance, and the opportunity to continue to participate is solely based on what you're able to give.
Yeah.
You know, and There is no nobody gets a free ride. You know, it's one of those things where you've got to fulfill your position week in and week out. And of course, there's those obvious things like injury and things that can set you back and take you out of the ability to contribute. But that's, you know, based on when somebody gets hurt. The fact of the matter is, week in, week out, you are up to making your performance the very best that it can be. And it exists throughout, whether you're 17-0 or 0-17. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's why I got a lot of admiration for guys that go through those losing seasons. When we went through a losing season in 88, it was 5-11. Man, was that misery. Oh, that was misery. I mean, it was just, you know, but there was also that acknowledgement, even as we were taking the field, that it was a brotherhood of guys who, yeah, this is like being forced to drink the bitterest whatever poison you could drink week in and week out with those losses. But at the same time, you know, you loved the man next to you and across from me because you kept lining up and going as hard as you could.
You were embracing the suck together.
Exactly. You never quit, because you always play an offense, especially on offensive line. Offensive line is about having a thick face and a black heart. All right, you got to be immune to criticism with a thick face, and you got to have a black heart, meaning you give no quarter and you ask no quarter. That's the way it was done. That's the way it always was in the NFL. Now, it's changed a little bit in essence, and there's a lot of things, but it's still one of those defining characteristics of playing in the NFL. It really is.
I'm with you. Yeah. We know, Wolf, that there's guys who make business decisions sometimes. Yeah. But I think that's more the exception than the rule.
I hope that's still more the exception than the rule. I think you're right.
I'm with you. Football is the one sport. And you know me. I'm a dork. I love everything. I love hockey. I love basketball. I'm glued to the World Cup. All that, you've been in the booths with Dan Quinlan and I. We're glued to the World Cup all these past weeks while we've been on the road. I love sports. I'm just a sports dork. I watch the tennis and the golf majors, right? But the only sport where you can really say that every game matters is football. That's it. That's just it. I think that's such a fabric of the game. You're right. Is that you don't cheat the game, you don't cheat any plays. And a big part of that is too, Wolf, as soon as you start doing that, as soon as you start making business decisions, that's when you find yourself getting hurt as well too. When you're not fully engaged, it might sound weird to some people, but it is, when you're not going 100%, you're more likely to get hurt than if you are. And so all those things, yeah, I think, especially with this organization, there's such a pride, there's such a standard, that you want to sprint to the finish every year, no matter if you're in the hunt, no matter if you're playing for a first round bye, or if you're, you know, 5-8, you want every week to go out there and to be able to feel like you got the job done.
There's absolutely everything you just spoke was truth. And that's when, you know, you really find out in the midst of a miserable season, really who the guys that are going to hang.
You know, adversity shows your character, right?
Absolutely. When we were 5-11 in 88, it was so miserable. We were 1-7, I think it was, at the turnaround there. And I think we won 3 of our last 4. And, you think, okay, this is really going to set us up for 89. You know, we're going to come back. We got a lot of guys coming back, the same group of guys. And we finally found, you know, what we needed in the last 3 or 4 games. And we're going to be able to come back and get things kickstarted. And that was when the infamous, you know, the start of the 89 season, when we lost 51-0.
Oh, geez.
And
Cleveland, right?
Against Cleveland at Three Rivers. And then we lost to Cincinnati. What was it, 45-10 or 42-10, something like that.
On the road in Cincy?
Yeah, in Cincy, yeah.
If I could only imagine the reaction if Twitter was around back then.
Oh, you could just think about that.
You would have all been fired. It would have been tank the season, fire everybody,
exactly. Clean
house.
They had the USA Today, the paper, right? That was,
of course. Listen, okay. I'm not that young, all right? I know what the USA Today
okay,
is.
Well, I didn't know. I'm not sure if you even remember what a dial phone looked like. You know what I mean? But regardless, USA Today ran a headline and said, "Has the game bypassed Chuck Knoll?" I mean, seriously. And it was like, first of all, Chuck was so big on not letting anything in to poison your brain. You know, he was always big, be careful what you read, be careful what you take in and allow your brain to like kind of set with, you know, because, everything was about, there's 4 walls to this room. The guys within, those are the guys that make a difference. The voices without, they don't make any difference to you. That's just noise, right? But you've got to find whatever you've got to find within the 4 walls of the guys that are playing and got to come out and be able to get the job done. And that was Chuck's mantra week in, week out. And his steadiness, I will tell you, the dude was just a rock-solid dude. He never changed his message. And I think that's one of the things that is exemplified in coaches that have positive outcomes, coaches who are exemplary coaches like the Chuck Knolls, like the Bill Cowers, like the Mike Tomlins. There's a reason, there's a thread that runs through each and every coach about the fact that they are large and in charge. They wear leadership like water wears wet, and they stand up, and the message doesn't change. And that's how they last a long time. Guys that have changing messages, you're not going to be long. But I know this. We're not going to be long when we go to break here.
Hey.
Yeah, you got in the locker room. You got Wes and Wolf. We are taking this Friday. We're running you up to getting a little scouting report here about the dastardly Carolina Panthers, where we're going down there to face off against. Max is on he's on a plane somewhere. I'm leaving on a jet plane. He is.
He's on assignment.
Yeah, I know. I just found my, why are you singing? That's just terrible.
What are you doing?
I know, that's just terrible. So why don't we go to break? We'll be back with more as we start breaking down the Panthers-Steelers next.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
In a nutshell, what the Steelers are going to be facing is, it's going to be a hammer and nail offense. Now, you got to find out and figure out who's going to be the hammer, who's going to be the nail. But certainly, take a look at Carolina. They're 13th in the NFL in rushing. They're averaging 125 yards a game. Through the first 6 games now, Carolina only cracked the 100-yard rushing total twice in 6 games under Matt Rhule. But under Steve Wilks, they've really emphasized the running game. And it's rather extraordinary because over the last 4 games, Carolina's rushed for over 220 yards twice. So in the first six games, they only rushed over 100 yards twice. In the last four games, they've gone over 220 twice. And it's interesting. You turn on the film and you go, well, what's up? And as I said before, they run the ball so much more. In the last couple of games, they had against Seattle last week, they rushed for 46, 47 rushes. They did another 46 against Denver. There was another team they put up 46. I mean, they are running the ball. They're running the ball coming out of the locker room. You know, and it's like Deontay Foreman, he's got four games of 113 yards or more since late October. I mean, this is really coming on. Obviously, he's leading the team in rushing. He's got almost 690 yards. But here's the thing, and this is really interesting. They go jumbo on or their heavy formations out in the field. It's like watching a goal line offense, like Terrell Austin was saying. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there watching film this morning. I'm going, man, oh, man, they got like 12 personnel, a couple of tight ends. And you got yourself a tackle over there, too. You got a lot of big bodies, as I said. One of the things they do is they take Cade Mays, their rookie 6'6", 325-pound guard, and they line him up at fullback. Wes, can you imagine that collision if you're Devin Bush or Miles Jack? Gadzooks, you think you want to – I wish Moats was here. We can talk to Moats about having to attack somebody that big coming downhill at you. You better meet him early on because you don't want that truck to get rolling.
Let's cold call Moats right here and see if he answers. No, you're right. He talks about – you know what? You'll laugh at this. You know what Moatsy always says when we talk about guys like that is he says, oh, man, my shoulders hurt just thinking about it.
I agree.
Like anytime the Steelers play the Titans, you know, and we're talking about Derrick Henry, he's like, oh, man, my shoulders hurt just thinking about trying to tackle that guy. But you're right. Like they've got a nice different smorgasbord of options there in the backfield. They've got they've got the bangers. They've
yep.
they've got
Deontay Foreman.
Yep. They've got some more shifty guys. They've got
Chuba.
Yep. They really have a nice complement there in their backfield between Foreman, between Chuba, between Blackshear. I think that is part of the reason, Wolf, why they were willing to, you know, to part ways with Christian. Part of the reason why they were willing to part ways with Christian McCaffrey as well, too. Feeling good about what they have in that running back room and kind of ready to turn the page there. But yeah, they get contributions from everywhere. They use Laviska Shenault Jr., a wide receiver who, you know, we did a lot of work on SNR talking about him in the lead up to the draft 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
About him potentially being a Steeler. They use him in the run game sometimes as well too. Not maybe as much as the Steelers have, but he's got seven carries on the season. They have got a very nice complementary run game there, I think is how I would put it in Carolina.
They do. And, you know, it starts, of course, up front with the Hogs. You got Ikem Ekwonu, a rookie at left tackle. He's 6'4", 320 pounds. He's a beef eater. He's got long arms, man. Alex Highsmith is going to have to do some serious battle with him come this weekend. You also got Brady Christensen on that left side of the line. He's only a second-year guy, 6'6", 300, another cheese whopper up there. But the fact is, that's two young guys together. And that will be with Cam Hayward, and you got Alex Highsmith over there. That's something that hopefully they can get something done there. They got to get after it because the young guys got to be exploited to the best that you possibly can. At center, they got Bradley Bozeman, who's 6'5", 325 pounds. He's a five-year guy. This is from the center over are the more experienced guys. So it reminds me always that, you know, if you're going to run games and things like that, you probably want to get after that left side of the line. To a degree. On the right guard, you got Austin Corbett, 6'4", 305, another five-year guy. And then Taylor Moten at right tackle, 6'5", 3 1/4. He's a six-year guy. Again, from the center to the right tackle, you've got experience. You got guys who've been there, done that, and are pretty good bangers. They stay on their feet. They stay engaged. They don't, you know, you don't see them falling left and right all over the place. But they will get hip-to-hip, shoulder-to-shoulder, and they're going to try to get, they say, you know, the popular way is to say get four hands on them for a double team. They're going to get keister to keister and ham hock to ham hock and get on you and try to uproot you. That's what this offensive line is going to try to do. They're going to try to punch you in the mouth and then punch you again.
Yeah, and they They've been able to do that at times. They've struggled at times. You know, maybe a little similar to what we say here in Pittsburgh, certainly. They've got pedigree on that offensive line, Wolf. There's no doubt about that, starting with the left tackle, Ikem Ekwonu.
Is that Ikem? Is that how it is?
Listen, I already know. We're going to have to go over this with you and Billy on Sunday, all right? Don't worry.
Okay, good. Ikem Ekwonu.
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 Ekwonu. I got to get it right.
He's
that poor guy.
He's another one. He's a rookie out of NC State. He's another one that we spent, I say we all, like on SNR, you know, right. All of our combine shows and draft shows, right, and everything. We spent a lot of time talking about this guy. Now, he was the 6th overall pick, so we didn't think the Steelers would have a shot to get him at 20. But last year was a pretty loaded left tackle draft class, if you'll remember. And so there was some thought of, hey, maybe one of these guys could drop. And so he was somebody that we spent some time discussing. He is talented. He's a big dude. I mean, 6'4", 320, and he's getting better, Wolf. He's just a rookie, and, you know, as you expect from any rookie, no matter how high you're drafted, you're going to have your growing pains. You're going to have your ups and downs. Progression isn't always linear, you know, as we like to joke. But, man, I think he's got the goods to be, you know, one of those 15-year all-pro type left tackles. And it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, to watch him and Alex Highsmith go at it. The Carolina boys there.
Yeah, exactly so. You know, I read a great article about Alex Highsmith, too.
Yeah.
Was it Dale Lally in the
Charlotte Observer, or was it the one that Dale Lally did?
It was the one Dale Lally did.
Okay, because the Charlotte Observer just did a nice write-up on his homecoming as well, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe I read them both. Man, oh, man. You know.
Maybe you did.
Short-term concussion syndrome.
Well, it's also, too, Wolf, listen. I'll extend you an olive branch here. Okay. At this point in the season, everything starts running together.
But I know something I got to do right now because I had promised him. Because I got to tell you something. You go down to the south side, you know, the Steelers facility. You've been there west, you know. But they got some of the best cooker rating going. Those folks down there, they have a kitchen down in the south side that serves both the Steelers facility and the Pitt facility.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you something. These guys are some of the best food artisans on the south side. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I'm talking about Kevin, Tom, Ty, Ann, Rose, Chuck, Bob, Rico, Julia, Miss Joan. Oh, yeah. I mean, you go down there. I'm telling you, they make the best. They make soup better than the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. I'm serious. No soup for you.
No soup for you.
Oh, but I'm telling you what. They make a cheeseburger soup, and they had lobster bisque the other day. Oh. It was to die for.
Wolf, you know, our loyal listeners here are you know, those who have been rocking with the Locker Room and SNR over the years. They'll remember, we used to do our shows down there on the south side, what, like 3 times a week, I think it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. You and Tunch would be down there. I would produce you guys, and then Motsi and I would do the show right after you guys from down there on the south side. So I got spoiled. Because I got, for 2 years there, I had lunch at the Steelers cafeteria 3 times a week. And, man, I miss it. I really do. It's one of the things I miss most about going down there all the time. I look forward to training camp because I get a little taste of the Steelers cafeteria at training camp. I look forward to, like, when we go down to the facility, you know, for the draft and events like that, whenever I get to partake with the Steelers chefs as well, too, because I am with you. Just nothing but outstanding. Just hit after hit after hit after 5-star meal after 5-star meal. And, yeah, it's a joke that Moats – when we were down there all the time, Moats and I used to make this joke often, but it still rings true. There's only 2 things in life that are undefeated. Father time and the chefs at the Steelers Southside facility.
You know, and there's one more name. We got to remember Mo. Dear Mo passed away a little bit ago. You know, and he was just a great guy.
I don't know if I've told you before. I went to college with his son.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. His son also named Mo. We went to WVU together. He's my buddy. He actually just moved to Philadelphia a few months ago.
No kid.
He was working for the city of Pittsburgh, had a really good job with the city of Pittsburgh, and just took one with it, like a nice promotion with the city of Philadelphia. So I know his son. His son is doing well. I know he'd be proud of him. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Mo. Great guy, great family.
Exactly so. So a tip of the hat to all these great people because they are a dedicated crew of great folks who take care of all the foodular consumption of all the Southside facility personnel and players. Absolutely.
God bless them, Wolf.
I know. I love them all. You know what? They're just friendly, good people.
It's a lot better than the hockey puck cheeseburgers from your days, right?
Oh, you ain't kidding. You'd see them there the first week, and you might see them again in week 12. The same burgers.
Oh, no.
Let's go to break, my good man. All right, tip of the cap to all the folks down on the South Side doing the hard work day in, day out. We appreciate you. Mucho love to you and your family. Merry Christmas to all you guys. You guys are great. Let's go back. We'll be back after this because we're going to come back with more breaking down what's coming up. That would be the Carolina Panthers and that running game after this.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We play two run-centric teams with quarterback mobility. And so, you know, you play two teams like that, you're going to have somebody ringing up yards on you in the running game. If we played two teams that featured the passing game, you could be talking about six quarters of passing yards. And so I'm not desensitive to it, but I just understand it's just the nature of the style of ball we've been playing of late. And we got another game that's could be very similar this week, and so it does have our attention.
Well, because of the fact the Carolina Panthers will attack you with six or seven linemen or a combination of an extra lineman and more tight ends, it is what they refer to it down there as an Arby's rushing attack. Arby's? What? You kidding me? But
Wait, hold on. Explain yourself.
Okay. The Arby's rushing attack is because there's so much meat on the hoof, so much beef out there. He said, you know, who's the guy that got the deep voice? He goes, we have the meats.
Oh,
Arby's.
James Earl Jones.
Yes, James Earl Jones.
Yep.
Can't do it like James Earl Jones.
We have the meats.
Yeah, you got to dig down. You got to go in low gear now. We have the meats.
We have the meats.
But that's
that's Darth Vader to you there, Mr. Wolfley.
That's true. That is Darth Vader-like. Well, it is Darth Vader because that's his voice, right?
Correct.
Correctamundo.
Correctamundo.
Yes. And I look at this and
Hold on. I got to make a joke real quick.
Okay.
What do you think he enjoyed voicing more, Darth Vader or those Arby's commercials?
Oh, Arby's commercials, no doubt about it. We have the meats. I love that. You know, and if you ever have that, go to the Arby's and get, oh, man.
I like Arby's. I do.
I love them, too.
I do.
Man, you get a great club sandwich there, man.
Fun fact for you. You know, yeah. You know what Arby's stands for?
What's that?
America's Roast Beef Youngstown.
No.
Arby's was started in Youngstown, Ohio. That's where they got the name, America's Roast Beef Youngstown. I swear, when I lived in Youngstown for 2 years, I learned this.
Are you pulling my leg, or is that true?
I swear, I'm not pulling your leg. In the original Arby's, the first Arby's is still in Youngstown. It's been renovated and remodeled. It's not the same building or anything, but
okay.
It's on the same location. And, like, it's a good place to go and get a roast beef sandwich at that original one. Let's just say it's like going to the original Permanis down in the Strip District versus the other Permanis. The other Permanis are still good, but there's just something about that original one down in the Strip.
I may have to make a visit there. Just
America's Roast Beef Youngstown.
To be able to savor the original.
I swear,
you know,
to
go
when
there
I,
to
when
the
I,
mother.
It was
the mother load of roast beef.
It was 2015 when I got the job with the hockey team in Youngstown and moved there. And they all told me that, like, my first or second week there. And I was like, you're lying to me. You're pulling the wool over my eyes, right? America's Roast Beef Youngstown. That's where it got started.
And what a sandwich, too. I love, you know, when you get that horseradish.
Oh, and the curly fries.
Well, the horseradish, though, first of all, when it shoots up the nostrils, you know, it makes you like go, you know. You
horsey.
Snort, man. Yeah. That's real horseradish, man. There. Now you're talking, buddy. You know, I love that. In Buffalo, that's one of the great delicacies up there is beef on
whack.
And you got that. that beef on weck that's been sitting in the crock pot like all night long. You got that au jus, you know, that juice you put on there, and then you hit it with some serious horseradish, and man, oh man, you get a rush of your lifetime right up the schnozola.
If you're talking regional foods, there's some great ones in this country. There really
is. Yes, no doubt.
But the combination of a beef on weck sandwich with you know, a handful of buffalo wings on the side is just, that's tough to beat.
It's beautiful, you know. It really is. I got to tell you, I grew up, you know, the only thing I didn't like so much was the Kimowek rolls where the salt would be, you know, it piles up on you.
Sure,
I'm not a big salt
I'm not a
guy.
Huge salt person either.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. But certainly, getting back to, I forgot where we're at.
Hey, what are we talking about here, huh?
You know, under Steve Wilks, he's really modified the offense to minimize whatever quarterback he's got. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, you've been through four quarterbacks have thrown passes for the Panthers. You know, I mean, it's just one of those situations where they decided, okay, we got the horses, we can run, so we're just going to hand off. And if we need to get bigger bodies in there to be able to just pound away to keep the game close and then play action it, that's exactly what they want to do. I mean, you take a look at them. I look at them. The numbers, but Darnold, his passer rating with play action is 115.3. Yeah, it ain't anywhere near that otherwise. You know, I mean, he really does a great job of play action passing. He'll do some misdirection. You got the bootleg, the reverse bootleg, things of that nature. In each of their five wins, they have not passed over for 200 yards. It's all about the run game. This is as simple a blood sport as you're going to see coming up in Charlotte this weekend, because it's going to be about what happens in the trenches. You know, I often joke and I laugh about fat is where it's at, and it's the guys up front that count. But it is. This is a case where this is no joke, and the festivities are going to run from tackle to tackle, or tight end to tight end, or the extra jumbo guy there, and 4 or 5 yards deep on each side of the ball. That's where the action's going to be, and it's going to be a pound out. And that's where Carolina's going to attack the Steelers. And the Steelers have got to have an answer for what they didn't have an answer last week. And I expect that, because these guys are professionals. They got pride. You know, got a little bit of humbling, a little humble pie last week. And that can be the thing that ignites the torch for this weekend. Get those mental RPMs up where they should be.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to find that spark somehow, right?
Absolutely.
And seemingly you had found it since the post-bye week. Last week can be a one-off. You know, there was a lot that transpired in that game against the Ravens, obviously, particularly losing Kenny Pickett so early on. That can throw any offense off. But you're right, Wolf. I mean, what's the split? How many times have we discussed this, right? What's the Steelers' record when they score first? What's the Steelers' record when they don't score first? The only team in the NFL with such split, right?
Right. 5-0, 0-8.
And the only team in the NFL that has that ratio there, that has won every game that they've scored first and lost every game that they have not scored first. There's real proof in that pudding. They need a fast start. That's what they're predicated upon. That allows them to be patient on offense. That allows the defense to play with their ears pinned back a little bit more. And that's where this team can have success.
No doubt about it. You know, you look at these guys and they're gonna just jam everybody in there, and they're gonna have a perimeter game where they throw to the outside, that sort of thing. They don't go all that, you know, downfield a whole lot. They're you know, checking it down and doing all those sorts of things. I look at Sam Darnold. You know, he's the last two games, they're going to stick with what gets them the win. And, you know, and they're second in the NFL and carries a game. Think about this. Almost they're averaging the last few games. I think in their five wins, they're averaging like 40 rushes a game. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. That's just absolutely awesome. When you're a hog and you have the opportunity to line up and knock guys back over and over, I love that, because the thing about it is it's all about a test of wills and who is going to be standing at the end of the game. And that's one of the beautiful things about football, because it still tests the inner man and who can be left standing at the end. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
But we'll be back with more beautiful
things.
Real
quick, hold on, Wolf. Real quick, you're good. Before we go to break. Listen, it's always good to know that people are listening to the show, right?
Right.
And we love our listeners. We appreciate our listeners. And from time to time, they have to correct us.
Oh, yes.
The Arby's commercials, we're both wrong.
What?
So thanks to Joe and to Brian, who both tweeted me to let me know this. It is Ving Rhames who voices those Arby's commercials, not James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Joe tweeted me that. Brian said, I can't let you guys get away with something wrong about food.
For the sake of journalistic integrity,
listen,
you
Wolf,
betcha.
You and I are nothing if not a fact-based radio show here,
That's
I tell
right.
you what.
We bring the goods, buddy. We have the meats.
We have the meats, and we have the listeners to keep us on track.
Thank you very much to our dear listeners who, you know, are hanging in there with us and correct us from time to time. Attitude adjustment, and we'll be back with more after this.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.